guys, welcome to the new year. You guys have probably gotten your resolutions all locked away. I'm sure everyone's doing their cleanses and their fasts and their mile hikes up the road. So,
okay, I'm starting my new diet now.
Well, maybe as soon as I finish these Krispy Kreme donuts,
right.
Then it'll start.
Right.
It's just a little treat, you know. Get me through, like a camel through the desert, you know.
Right.
So today we are talking about leading well, just focusing on the charge that we have as husbands, fathers, and leaders in our lives, and what that kind of looks like in the context of this new year, and then how can we really position ourselves in a way so we can lead well as the Bible kind of tells or Bible calls us to and the Lord expects us to.
Everything old is new again.
Right. We're going to start here with leadership, and what better leader to talk about than Jesus? You know, we have plenty of examples throughout the Bible that talks about how Jesus led his disciples internally, how he interacted with other authority figures and other people in his life, and, you know, over all these thousands of people teaching kind of thing. I think it's always interesting that the Bible talks about so many different instances of how Jesus talks to people. And then we always question, so what am I called to do? How am I called to lead again?
Right.
When we're given so many examples, whether it's Jesus or even any of the people that Jesus and God called in the Bible of how to lead, like Moses, Joseph, all these people. And we always are so confused of, wait, how do I lead again? What's the bullet point list I need to know?
What's a good model to go by?
Right,
kind of thing?
Right.
It's always refreshing to see that Jesus spent time with people. He didn't say, go tell those people to do that right there. That was the commission after he had gone, ascended. But while he was on earth, it was, I'm going to be in your presence, your midst, and tell you and lead you. And so I like that he was a hands-on leader, compassionate, but had been known to throw a table or two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love when people talk about throwing the tables because it's a moment of righteous anger that we can see that while we are called to be loving and gracious, there are moments where righteous anger is required.
Sure.
But to your point, I do think it's interesting that Jesus never really led from the
rear.
Yeah, it was always like, I'm going to be in your midst. I'm going to be sitting at the table breaking bread with you, and I'm going to lead you, but I'm going to lead you kind of from within. And that's really where you can see this as you spend time in the Word, and this Word molds us, and that's how Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, and they lead us through that. As we spend time in the Word and we pray and model ourselves after Jesus,
right. We
can see that, oh, well, I'm making better decisions now. I'm reflecting his love through my actions.
Sometimes it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that this mouth doesn't say the things it wants to say.
Oh, so many unsmacked faces.
Because sarcasm came standard with this model.
Yeah.
And so, the Holy Spirit thankfully intercedes much too often for this mouth. But our scripture focus is Matthew 20, 26 through 28.
It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
I love this upside down kingdom kind of thing where we think that, oh man, la, I'm gonna be a leader. Bam, let me out, man, la, you know.
I wanna be the tippy top penthouse.
I mean, if you go on social media, it's full of millionaires and leaders, right? And every time when you guys were younger, and I coached in rec league, I had never played soccer growing up. Don't care for it. don't really care about baseball either. Mm. But when you guys played in there, I coached. When they asked for a volunteer, I stepped up to lead it. Did I know what I was doing on soccer? Absolutely not. I still don't know. Kick the ball that way. I know some of these positions call this. Sure, fine, go. But after someone volunteers to lead, there's always that other group of guys that are like, oh, I was just getting ready to do that.
You beat me to it.
Oh, if I only had another 6-7 hours of waiting, I could have done it. I could have said yes. So I think that it's important to see that you can lead. You don't have to be like this, you know, Superman to do that. Pick your spot. Even if you don't feel comfortable in that, learn.
Yeah.
Go lead. Go learn. Get better at leadership. Try it again. You know. And so I love that verse that, well, how can the person who's last be first?
Yeah.
He's not qualified to lead. Mm. And rarely does God call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Yeah. I mean, the disciples, you know, crossed so much land to spread the good news. And most of those guys, I mean, fishermen, tax collectors, like average dudes who had, if someone looked at them and said, you have no calling to be a spiritual leader. You can say, go back to fishing some fish or whatever, man. Right. And so it's always interesting to see, because that's usually our go-to excuse as guys. Well, I'm not qualified.
Sure.
John over there can do it way better than I can. Right. Go ask John. He knows that kind of stuff. And it makes us kind of like take a back seat in some areas that we're maybe the Lord's like, hey, I'm calling you to do this now. It's your turn to step up into this arena and learn maybe on the fly a little bit.
Sure.
Because if you wait until you're fully ready, you'll never be fully ready. You'll never take that step, that job, that leadership position. You'll never make those choices if you're waiting. But okay, now I'm fully ready, because you will never be fully ready.
Okay, so let's. I can feel the clenching of butt cheeks listening to this right now. There's no way I can preach the gospel, or I don't want to go on mission trips. You know, it's at my bubble kind of thing. Let's bring it down to, okay, servant leadership starts at home, where you're most comfortable. Starts right on that sofa cushion you've been sitting on for the last 20 years. A husband and a father, first leadership role is in his family.
Yeah.
I hope if you have married someone or have fathered children, you realize that you've been called to a role, and that role is a bit of leadership.
Yeah.
And how you're serving your wife and children should be something you're asking yourself. We all men should be asking ourselves that. And are you prioritizing their spiritual growth, providing emotional support, leading by example? I mean, all these things, it does not stop at the front door of your house.
Yeah.
It actually begins.
Right.
At the door of your house when you get home, of leading your family.
Yeah, it's not just, well, I'm going to take them to church on Sunday, and that's where they'll get their spiritual nourishment.
Sure.
You know, I read Family Driven Faith a couple months back, great book about how to lead the family as, you know, head of the household and head spiritual leader of the household, what that looks like in the Bible and what we're called to be. And I think it's really important that, while some of us are kind of thrown into it and kind of learn on the fly, if you have that chance to build that up before and not start at like ground zero and work your way up, you will prepare yourself in such a better place. Like if you like set up boundaries, like, okay, this is how the Bible calls me to lead. That's how I'm going to lead. I'm going to work on how I'm going to lead my household as that father figure, spiritual leader in the house. Because I tell you, unprepared is where all the mistakes happen.
Oh, sure.
So you're getting pulled left and right. Life happens. Things get put in front of you, and you aren't prepared for those kind of conversations and that leadership role. You're going to make mistakes. That's fine, but wouldn't you much rather avoid those?
Right. Learn from those mistakes. Prepare for those opportunities. I mean, our Good Talk packs are specifically developed so that maybe you can have those conversations, those difficult conversations or sometimes unwanted conversations ahead of time before you have to have that conversation. Right. And again, that leader you see strutting around on social media kind of thing, if I told you that leadership is built on humility. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Leadership isn't about being the loudest or the strongest. It's about serving others when it may not be convenient.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you study the leadership style of Jesus, you will be shocked at the things he did as a leader. Not always the, you know, news title, headline grabbing stuff. Jesus raises from the dead, film at 11 kind of thing. But those in-between moments that he led people just as powerfully as leading someone from the dead, but forgiving someone, speaking someone to someone, forgiving someone, that kind of thing. So our vision casting for 2025 sounds all new agey. remember, this is a new year, new charge. Every great leader sets a bit of a goal or a vision. You know, pray over that. See how that aligns with the leadership style of Jesus, because you may find that writing down all the characteristics of Jesus and how he led, and then write down yours and put those side by side, and then scratch out all the ones that you have on your list that do not match up with Jesus. And then that's your list.
Yeah.
Right. So what is our challenge for our listeners?
So this, before we kind of take our break here and talk about our sponsors, something to keep in mind as we kind of go to break for this week and kind of beyond is taking some time out of your busy schedule. We know it's all busy, but writing down one way you can lead in your home that is more like Jesus, whether it's praying with your family, spending time going on like neighborhood missions or food banks, quiet times, whatever that looks like for you and your family. Taking time and writing down one way you can do it, and then do it. Don't just write it down. Do it. Do the follow-up part. Do it.
Wait, I got to do more than just write it down?
But the important thing is it doesn't have to be, you know, hey, every week we're going to the soup kitchen, but something to be small and consistent.
Sure.
Focusing on that. Every morning we take 5 minutes and we sing a hymn together. Something like that. Something that's consistent and achievable for you to do as head of the household.
Sure.
And leading like Christ.
That's great, great practices. I think the more we practice being like Jesus, the more we'll actually be like Jesus. We'll never be completely like Jesus because we're flawed, but he said we are a new creation in Christ. So, well, stay tuned for some of our sponsors before we see you on the other side for segment two. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Okay, so welcome back to our A New Year, A New Charge. What's old is new again, apparently.
Bell-bottom jeans, come back, baby.
That's right. I hope Disco Puffs don't come back because I can't do that anymore. You wouldn't know it. I used to have pretty poofy hair. I mean, I had some thick hair. It was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far away.
Because of my age, I want to say I got past the point where usually you'd be start losing hair by my age if I was going to lose it. But there has been a moment last like 2-3 years where I used to get my hair cut real short.
Yeah.
And it starts slowing down the growth cycle. And I was like, oh, you know what? We're just going to let that grow out. I don't want to lose that. So we're just going to let that grow. We're just going to let that grow a little bit.
Well, our segment two is leadership in the workplace, in community. So our first one kind of touched on leading in our family.
Yes,
at home.
Home base.
So what is our segment two talk about leadership in our workplace and community?
Yes. So, you know, God didn't just call us to be heads of the household, but also, you know, spiritual leaders in our communities and our workforces. And for many areas, that may be the only place some of these people are exposed to the love of Christ. And so taking time and really finding kind of where you can be that light in your work, in your community, whether that is, maybe it is volunteer coaching soccer for the local school.
Sure.
Maybe that's piloting an outreach program to the soup kitchen from your work or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But finding ways that you can be that light in a workplace and community setting, because for some people, it may be easier to be the spiritual leader at home because that's the people you know and you live with. But you have a more difficult time. Well, that's my work people. I don't want to cross streams, or I really don't want to talk to, that's my neighbor. I don't talk to them. I give them a wave and then I walk along kind of thing. So, you know, we're called to be this in all areas of our lives, not just one or the other.
Sure.
So taking time and trying to figure out what that looks like for you, because everyone's different, right? But taking time and focusing on how Jesus kind of displayed that throughout his ministry.
Mm. Yeah, I think that the body of Christ is made up of a bunch of different believers with a bunch of different talent.
Mm.
And there's a reason why there are pastors who are called to ministry, and there's a reason why some people have children, people that, you know, excel at their job and in leadership that way. Find what you excel in and apply that talent to the kingdom.
Mm.
You know, we do a ton of ministry work, and over the years, we've had a few people reach out to us, and they're like, you know, usually Christian Design is cheesy. Mm. You guys do some really good work around that. I'm like, well, thank you for that compliment. We're not designers who happen to be Christians. Mm. We're Christians who also design.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference. And so a friend of ours has a great scripture on his email. And now that I've said it, I can't remember it, but he has one about about craftsmanship, and there's one that it's in Exodus. I promised to find that. But there's one that talks about when they were building the tabernacle, they found craftsmen to do intricate designs and whatever. And so that, I'm going to say it now, that scripture always stuck with me, I guess so much so that I probably should learn it. There's my challenge of the day, is to learn that and remember it kind of thing. Our scripture focus here is Colossians 3:23.
Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men.
So some of the points we've been talking about is being a light or serving where you are. It's a little tricky in the workplace.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, I've been in the design industry for a number of years, and there's a lot of the gay community there.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so that I just assume you're gay until you tell me you're not, because in that industry, it felt like every time I met someone, they were gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine for them to do that as long as they gave me my place to be a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had many conversations with someone who's, you know, who's gay. The person I worked next to for 11 years was gay. And so being that person in your workplace, you may not have to be a Bible thumper.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have to try to cast out demons at lunchtime, but speaking well of your faith, not being an excuse for someone to say, this is why I don't go to church kind of thing. You know, there's an opportunity to be a light at workplace.
Yeah.
I have only worked at a handful of places through my career, but the ones I have, there's been opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made no bones about it. And because there may not be like a whole lot of gay people at your job, but there may be atheists or other denominations or just people who there are none.
Yeah.
That none percentage is rapidly growing.
Mm.
And so there's definitely opportunity there.
Yeah, definitely. Because what how you present yourself in the workplace definitely impacts the conversations you can have.
Mm.
If, you know, you are a area of love and you're reflecting Jesus and being gracious to those around you, that's a much easier conversation than, well, I'm going to make it really, really like difficult to talk to me.
Sure.
You know, be aggressive, be, you know, all these things that we're not called to be. And that goes for work and for school, because I know I was in the exact same situation you were in with our community at college. You can talk about breeding ground for gay people, because I remember talking about they invited me out to do some kind of museum art crawl, and I was like, I'm going to pass on that tonight. I have my Bible study, and I grew a third eye to them at that moment.
Sure.
Because they were like, you're in the art department? You go to church? What is this? So being that person that someone in those environments feels like they can talk to, ask questions.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's just being an open space to have that conversation and being a leader position in that sense.
Yeah, we would come back on weekend and someone would say, oh, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I went to the Southern Decadence Festival mm-hmm. down in New Orleans, you know, kind of thing. With New Orleans, right? Parades. Mm-hmm. And all parades are family friendly.
Yeah.
And they would say, if they said, what would you do? Oh, well, they went to church. We went and served this or just spent time with family kind of thing. If they asked about, you know, well, you seen any movies recently or in books kind of thing? I never hid my faith from them in any fashion. I didn't throw it in their face, but definitely if I felt led to, I would definitely share that.
Yeah.
So the next one is mentor and multiply. So great leaders don't just lead, they build up others.
Mm.
Who can you mentor this year? There may be that's a younger colleague, a friend in need, or someone in your church. You'd be shocked by the number of men who feel isolated and alone and feel like they're only I'm going through this. Don't want to talk about it. Maybe feel that they don't need to talk about it, or it's weak to talk about it, that desperately need to talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that we talk about this phenomenon where, like, when you buy a white car, you only see white cars around you.
Yes.
So it's interesting when you bring up something like, hey, I'm really struggling with this thing, and you bring that up to a group of people, you find out really quickly, once you've broken that ice, how many people in that area struggle with that? I know when we started talking about Heather's health issues and all that kind of stuff, I was very shocked to see how many other couples had struggled with the exact same thing in our small little 20-person group at a Bible study. And so it's definitely a hurdle that some guys just struggle with trying to talk through those emotions. But I can guarantee you, once that ice is broken and you talk through that, you will find at least one other person who you can lean on and go, man, yeah, I've been the same thing. Either I'm currently going through it, I'm on the other side of that, or I'm about to go through that.
Right. That is 1,000% accurate. So we got exposed to poison ivy a couple of years ago to a spot where it was all over and our bodies were reacting to it. So it was just kind of like, not like in our face or whatever kind of thing, but it was on our bodies like crazy. We had to go to a dermatologist and get oral medication to get it treated. But an example of that we have a ton more in common with each other than we don't. You walk into a supermarket or a pharmacy and you say, I have poison ivy. Everybody who's in earshot of you, oh, I had that last week or last year kind of thing. Their hair could be purple. They could have tattoos on top tattoos. They could be 18. They could be 88. There are people who've had poison ivy, right? It's just an example of we all go through the same stuff. We're all in the same boat. We all deal with the same things in life. And so, you know, sharing with each other is definitely a great way to get a different perspective. And if you are trying to be a leader, I believe in having a mentor that's older than you, mentoring you, and then mentoring someone younger than you. That's a great bookend kind of piece. And so sometimes in unlikeliest places, you know, it's sometimes it is at church, and sometimes it might be, like we just said before, it might be at work.
Yeah.
Might be somewhere at work that they're going through something, and you spend 40 hours plus a week together, maybe sitting right next to each other. Life's going to ooze out.
Yeah.
And so it's a great place to kind of be that light. Then the next one is impacting our community.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's, at a work. Sometimes it's with someone that you might see. Sometimes like a church or a friend. And then sometimes it's a complete stranger. It is someone that is outside our usual routine. Whether it's coaching that sports team, leading a Bible study, volunteering, or influencing as far as you can in your immediate circle.
Yeah.
Some of our best times we've spent has been serving with other believers at some Second Harvest or Fall Festival or passing out food to. We pulled into an apartment complex. Probably not the safest complex. Opened that that box truck and we passed out, I don't know, food and every variety. People came out because they had a need.
Yeah.
It wasn't like passing out lobster. It was just passing out food.
Yeah.
And so impacting your community goes a long way. And I think it also helps you grow in your walk.
Yeah.
Because you see a different perspective of people.
Yes.
So when you were saying that you're going through something, you mention it, someone else says that, you probably did not see that person in that light before. It's like, no. I didn't even know that you had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, goodness. Half the women in our small group here have had miscarriages and more than one. And so we just don't seek that out sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we focus so much on what other people would say or think about us when we reveal that information that we forget that they're thinking the exact same thing on their side. And sure. All it takes is one conversation to open up that kind of connection that you wouldn't have otherwise.
This is exactly why at Alcohol Anonymous, you're required to state your name, tell us a bit about yourself. My name is TJ, and I'm an alcoholic kind of thing. You do that so that everybody else can see you're one of us.
Yeah.
We struggle with that too. And you can see, oh, I struggle with that. Everybody else, oh, okay, gotcha. Same in a church.
Yeah.
All sinners saved by grace. So.
Yeah.
So our challenge for our listeners.
So kind of in the same vein as the first section here, you this week take some time. Think of one practical way that either in your workplace or your community, you can step out in faith and be an example in leadership to them. Trusting in God that he will orchestrate that for his glory, as he always does. But figure out one way that you can do that and then take that step.
Second Harvest is a great place. We used to go there all the time. Sorting all kind of stuff.
Many potatoes.
I can still smell potatoes. There was a sack of potatoes that was taller than me.
Yeah.
I couldn't put my hands around it. must have been a ton of potatoes, literally a ton. But you meet people there, and I remember hearing the person talk about, you know, kind of a little bit of the orientation before you start, that you go there and you spend like 2 hours working, and you finish, you're like, oh, I'm exhausted. I stink of potatoes, or I'm tired of seeing like old shampoo bottles that are leaking. My step count is through the roof. And then the person was telling us that there's a group of ladies that are probably in their 70s or 80s that go there twice a week, and they kill it with service. They absolutely kill it. They get there, they do all this work, and it's every Tuesday and Thursday for years, years and years. And I'm sitting here after 2 hours of one time on a Saturday going, oh, my feet hurt, my back hurt, kind of thing. So it's really good for us to kind of get outside our box.
Yes, definitely.
So our closing thoughts, leadership isn't a switch that you flip on because it's a new year. 2025, I'm going to do my prognostication like that big squirrel in Punxsutawney. 2025 is going to be a lot like 2024 with trials of things are expensive and there's going to be health problems and all that. But as you embrace 2025, ask God to guide you in leading well, weathering challenges at home and at work and in your community. And let's start this year strong by committing to lead with purpose.
Yeah.
It's while it might not be as productive as, you know, like doing a resolution and say, oh man, I didn't, it lasted about 3 weeks this year. It is good to have a purpose to our leadership style and tie that to the Lord.
Yes, definitely.
So, all right, guys. Well, as we end with this here, a new year, a new charge, everything old is new again. We hope you enjoyed this. Please visit our website at uncommon.org. Visit our membership section. We have an all-access membership that has an annual and a monthly membership. And it's got a ton of content that focuses on topics just like this.
Yeah.
So Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.